Maybe we'll join us here in a moment. You guys see the viral video of Adam Gaudette at his wedding?
Ridiculous. He tried to do a sexy dance and, like, what is it? Like,
didn't
seduce
go well.
His wife, and he tried to move his leg over her head. And he karate kicked his wife right in the side of the head with his foot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It was Sam Rosen-esque awkwardness, and it has gone viral. He had his shirt off. Like, you know, he was just polluted.
Probably
at the first party he's had in a long time, and it happened to be his wedding, which is dangerous, right? Like, with a COVID lockdown, if you haven't been partying, which means your party immune system is pretty weak, and you end up having a little bit too much to drink for the first time in a long time at your wedding, you're asking for a lot of trouble.
He went Frank the Tank, and you know that his wife, they woke up, ha ha ha, we're married. She hates his guts right now.
Oh, yeah.
With the power and what, and I'm not just saying, I think everybody cares about what social media is, but I think when women get tagged into that and dragged in, it's like she didn't want that. Her friends, she probably hates his guts day one.
Yeah, I don't think she would have been happy with the dance, the shirt off to begin with, and then he goes for the, like, basically a roundhouse kick over the head, but connects, and there is, like, an audible gasp in the room. People are like, oh, my God, that's the bride who just got scissor kicked by the husband.
That's
the
day
groom.
One hatred. That is day one hatred
it
of
is.
Marriage.
Yeah,
you just got married. He's greased with no gear on and kicks her right in the cranium an hour into their marriage.
I mean,
it's a tough one. It's a tough
one.
Well, when you put it that way.
You've heard stories, though. I mean, I have two crazy stories. One where I know a buddy of mine, the groom, got so buckled the night before the wedding that they brought him home in a shopping cart. And he was late for the wedding and only shaved half. Like, half of his face was shaved. Like, he could barely pull himself together. His
how do you
wife
not
was
keep
so
it on
mad
the
at
rail?
Him.
Like, how do you not keep it on the rails? Like, that one night.
That's, I don't
see,
get that.
You know
either.
What it is?
That's
you know
amateur
what
hour.
Have
that's
a
amateur
bunch
hour.
Of, have a bunch of beers and stuff, but just keep it on the not shaving and being taken home in a golf cart. Whatever. It's just nuts.
How do you?
You know
do
what
that?
Happened? It's just people come in from out of town, and they're there that like. The night before, and like, oh, I have a couple, and then a couple turns into, yeah, I'll stay
Frank
for one
tank.
More.
It's and, Frank
and
the Tank.
All of a sudden, the guy is Bernie Lomax, and he's being brought home in a shopping cart, dropped off to his hotel room, and then he's a disaster to start off with, and then the next day, they're trying to get him ready for, like, a, you know, a 2 o'clock wedding.
That's
and
it.
He's non-functioning.
That's
non-functioning.
It. Gaudette's wife is saying, you couldn't keep it together for 1 hour of marriage, and you geared down and scissor kicked me right in the cranium. Hour one.
Yeah, an hour.
You're a moron.
And it would have, like, nothing could have made that a good scene, but if he had his shirt on, it would help, right?
Yeah.
Like, breaking down the tape, no tarp at your wedding.
Well, the worst is if he gears down and he tries the Patrick Swayze, the running jump, and he just buckles and they all fall, and then it's over.
It's an immediate annulment. It's an
over.
It's
yes,
an annulment.
It is. It is.
It's everyone, we're going to go Men in Black here. Someone's going to come out here. Everyone stare at this thing, and we're going to pretend that this never happened.
Now,
right? Everyone's memory is going to be frozen, and it never happened. Because, yeah, I'll bet you that'll be coming up for years. Years.
Oh.
A scissor kick to the cranium.
What happens next year when she's like, okay, honey, want to put in the wedding video? Boom, right off the hop.
There's your wedding
right
video. It's official.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he plays in Vancouver, so you know this is a big story out there. It should be a big story everywhere, I would think, around the NHL. But let's head there now and catch up with our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Do you have any analysis of the Adam Gaudette scissor kick to his wife's head at their wedding, or what?
Tough one to overcome.
Yeah, tough.
The wedding night is going to be awesome. Honey, you look great except for the fat lip from where I booted you in the face.
With no tarp on.
There is zero chance I would play a game against Adam Gaudette and not ask him at least three times if he's kicked his wife in the face anytime recently.
It's a must chirp, right? Like, you have to
it's
bring
so
it up.
It's so easy. It's so easy. Like, and the fact, like you guys, the fact he's got no shirt on is really quite remarkable.
Yeah, like, why no shirt, Ray? It's just like, it's a wedding with family, friends. I have no idea what part of the world they're even in, but why are you gearing down with a bar move? Like, that's a honky-tonk. What's the movie called where the bartenders dance on the bar?
Oh, yeah. What the hell is that one called?
Oh, what they...
Coyote Ugly.
Yeah,
Coyote Ugly. This guy gets Coyote Ugly at a wedding. It's like, no. Yeah. Like, what's grandma thinking in the corner saying, this guy's gearing down for a dance? No way.
When the kids are a little older. Hey, can we watch the wedding video again? Not all of it, just the first 10 seconds.
Yeah. Can we see that TikTok that got 4 billion views online? Where daddy was trying to be smooth and accidentally scissor kicked mommy in the head? Mm-hmm. It's just an outrageous way to start the nuptials. And I can't even imagine what it would have been like. Like, he didn't mean to do it. That goes without saying. But the audible gasp in the room. Like, we've all been in situations like that someone is trying to be a hero and it gets away from them and you're like, this, I cannot believe I'm here.
Brian,
I can't believe
picture,
I'm witnessing this live.
Big picture, what he's lost the privilege of moving forward, and it's an early start for him an hour after marriage. He has lost the privilege of saying to his wife, don't worry, we're just having a couple beers. I won't do anything stupid. She'll say, you did it an hour after being married, you moron. How am I supposed to believe you?
Yeah.
So after 1 hour of marriage, he's already lost that privilege.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's all it took.
But you know what, though? She signed up for that. I guarantee you, she's like, yeah, that's a Tuesday at our house. Like, that's, you know, she knows what this guy's all about. That's not the first time that guy's had a few drinks with his buddies. Like, that's
shirts
probably
off
the 150th
guy,
time. Yeah.
You know, like, shirt off guy is shirt off guy all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's just waiting to break out. That's his superhero costume. It's no shirt. You know, like, you know it's in there. It's just a matter of time. You just would think with that event being your own wedding, maybe you take the night off. You know, take tie off, jacket off, shirt, maybe an untuck by the end of the night. Completely off. Early into the evening, that is a different level of I'm having a really good time. But hey, listen, it gets to the best of us. It happens sometimes, right? With Ray Ferraro,
that's a tough one to dig out of, though.
Yeah, it most certainly is. To take more of a serious turn here, when are you heading to Red Deer, and are you still planning on going? Like, what's the story here with the juniors? And there's, I don't know if it's technically classified as a COVID outbreak, but 3 positive tests within the camp, 2 of them players. They've shut down scrimmages. I guess everything's just frozen for a while until we have more definitive answers at this point.
Yeah, at this point, we're flying in there. Gordon and I are flying in on Friday to Calgary and, you know, and driving up to Red Deer. I mean, there'll be a lot, I would assume, of communication between now and then. You see the news this morning, and I mean, there's an inevitability about the fact that people are going to get it. You're in, you know, the country's worst spot, you know, which is Alberta.
Yeah.
While the players are, you know, in, you know, they're in the hotel and they're kind of under their own little bubble, everybody else is not. Like, people are coming in and out of the hotel to serve the food and to work at the desk and, you know, run the hotel where they're staying at. And so that puts you in an exposure position. You bring in the community. I'll be honest with you, I'm less enthused today than I was yesterday about going in for the game. I mean, we're not staying in the same hotel. We're somewhere else, but, you know, it makes you think for sure.
Absolutely. And we can't act surprised that this kind of stuff is going to flare up. You know, it's just it's kind of like what the NHL dealt with. You've got to get into the bubble. And once you're in and you're clear, then it should be sanitary and all good. But prior to that, you know, anything can happen at any time. We all know that. COVID is lurking, and there's really no explanation as to how these kids got it or all 3 of them got it. I guess maybe we'll be granted that information at some point. Not that it's necessary. Now you just hope it doesn't break out even more than it already has. That's all you can hope for.
Well, yeah, certainly with the, you know, depending on I guess the tests were administered and the positives come back. And, of course, those players are sitting in the dressing room with the other guys. And they're in close proximity on the bench and all that stuff. We should be well aware. There's the breakout in Vegas and one in Columbus, and it's everywhere. And you can do everything you can to be safe and do the best you can. And, you know, I think we've got enough evidence here by the millions of cases around the world that, you know, it's kind of unstoppable until we can, you know, get some kind of solution.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So Emily Kaplan of ESPN posted something on ESPN.com today, the best and worst contracts for all 31 teams. And I don't think I wasn't surprised by the best and the worst for the Leafs, but I think it says something about where we've come in just 2 years, that the worst is John Tavares, and it's not overly surprising. It's not considered a shot. It's not some hot take. It's probably just honest analysis based on the fact that he still has 5 years left at $11 million, and he's probably not going to be the same player he was the second he signed the deal. He's 30 years old now. Right. So yeah, Tavares is the worst contract, even though he's still a great player. You know, he's still going to be a very good player that's going to score a lot of goals and put up a lot of points. So maybe it's a positive that that's the answer, as opposed to, you know, someone else that could have an awful deal over 2 or 3 or 4 years. And the best is Morgan Riley, who's got a couple of years left at $5 million. Would you agree with those two, the best and the worst? And if not, where would you maybe look to change?
I was trying to come up with the best. As you were talking about Tavares, because I do agree that unfortunately is the worst one. I mean, Morgan at that price, considering what some of the other guys are around the league are signed at, is really, really great value. You know, I go back to the day Tavares was signed, and we talked about it, you know, ad nauseum, but it felt like a luxury move that they didn't need to make. Mm-hmm. With too long of a road in front of it. You know, the 7 years, you're in pretty good shape up the middle with certainly Matthews, who was getting better and better, and Kadri. And I understand and I remember the circumstances surrounding, you know, what the Leafs were trying to do and what they thought they could be, and then what happened with Kadri. Like, you know, he ended up getting marginalized as a third-line center, and off he goes. I didn't think they needed to sign that deal, and their repercussions are here. I mean, they're here by the $11 million on the contract. So
right,
I don't disagree at all.
There's only one way around it, and we all know what that is. Is if he wins the Stanley Cup, not one person will care about 1 cent or one goal total or 1 point total assist. If they win the Stanley Cup in the next 2 or 3 years, when John Tavares is a factor for it, nobody will ever talk about it again. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Right. It's the price. Then it just, even if you get, say they win it in 2 years and he's got a couple of years left and they're, you know, plotting statistically, nobody cares. That's the price of winning the Stanley Cup.
That's right. That's what everyone will say. Well, they won a Stanley Cup with John Tavares, so who cares what he does now?
You're right. Like, you could argue, though, I mean, Dreisaitl's contract could be the best in the league.
Yeah, I was surprised that wasn't considered the best. I believe Emily had Tyson Barrie.
Tyson Barrie, James Neal. But, like, I mean, Dreisaitl at 8.5, and he won you the Hart Trophy, and he's gotten 100-plus points the last couple seasons. And even McDavid at 12.5. I know it's
Well, and it
rich,
was an eight-year
but, I mean,
deal. That was what was significant.
Exactly.
Like, I look at Matthews. I think Matthews is worth every penny, if not more.
Sure.
But it was a 5-year deal, so I can't say that it was some team-friendly deal. It wasn't, you know.
Right.
He got what he should get. He's a guy that's going to probably lead the league in goals throughout the history of his contract or close to it. He's improving his two-way play. He's a beast. He's a superstar. But they didn't get eight, and that was the thing about Edmonton is you got McDavid for eight, you got Dreisaitl for eight. That is almost more important than the number, because you have security throughout their prime.
Yeah.
Like they're two great deals.
I mean, you can look at, I'm sure, you know, it's pretty easy to probably spot the worst contracts around. It wouldn't take very much time to go team to team. And there are players paid north of Dreisaitl and just south of McDavid that are just complete anchors to their teams. Right. And there's no way around and out of those deals. And Edmonton's going to get miles of production out of these two guys for a long period of time. Like miles of it.
Yeah, you're getting their whole prime. You're getting them until they're 30 years old. You're getting every year of, like, the best years of their careers.
Yeah.
So it's just a great setup. And to take it back to Tavares, to be fair to him, I think his first 2 years he has been worth $11 million. Give or take. Like his first year, he had 47 goals and 89 points.
It's fantastic.
That's an $11 million player. Like, he was an exceptional top 12, top 15 player in the league. And last year, he didn't have as great of a year, but still, basically a point per game, 30-plus goals. I don't think the issue necessarily is what he's even going to do in the next couple of years.
Playoffs.
It is that we all acknowledge, well, the playoffs, right, of course, but we all acknowledge the length of it. Likely the last couple of years could get ugly. You know, that's where the concern is, where I don't know if it's an awful deal if he's got 2 or 3 years left on it, but he's got five.
Right.
And that makes it, that brings on a completely different complexion and a different viewpoint.
Don't you think, or maybe you don't think, but I do, is that the term when a guy signs a contract, oh, you know, it might be a year or two too long, you know, it's kind of a throwaway line. With the way that the cap is now situated, that cannot be a throwaway line anymore.
Right.
Right.
And, I mean, you can't undo the contract that's already signed, but when teams are signing free agents and you go, oh, you know, like, years 6 and 7 might be a little too long. Well, yeah, you're going to have to live with that. There's no room in the cap. Look, teams can't even go for lunch on their salary cap anymore. Like, they're boxed in, and there's going to be a time that, you know, there's going to be no room for a lot of teams, and a lot of it's going to have to do with they're not getting the production or the quality of play out of their highest-end, highest-paid players that they need. It's always been that way, but it's going to be even more so as these cap or as these contracts get towards the end of their lifespan.
Well, and that's what's interesting as you look over some of the other contracts that stick out on ESPN.com. Drew Doughty was listed as the worst contract for the Kings. I think he's only a year into the new deal. And Carey Price was the worst for the Habs. And it's not that they aren't still. It's like Tavares. They're all the same kind of boat. Like, great players.
Is Eric Carlson there?
Carlson wasn't because Vlasic is worse, and I agree with that. Like,
I forgot about Vlasic. What's he got? 6 years left?
He's got, I think, five, maybe six at $7 million, and he is half the player he was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Brutal. He won't be able to play in the league in 2 years.
Yeah, that's Seabrook. It's Seabrook and Vlasic are kind of, they're in the same category.
Just think of that, $18 million on that blue line for those two.
For and Carlson, I mean, Eric, and Vlasic.
Yeah, Carlson can be, and you add $8 million for Burns, or $8.5 million, whatever he's making. Like, man, the Carlson number is ginormous.
Right.
Right. It is.
And he's had, unfortunately, plenty of injury issues to go along with, you know, with that number.
Well, you know who's on that list, and nobody even blink twice about it, PK Subban. Like, he makes $9.5 million, and he's a forgotten player in New Jersey.
Yeah, sadly for PK, his star has faded more so than maybe any other player in the league the last couple years.
I think he's got a couple years left. I'll check it quickly, but like,
oh, he's got more than a couple noodles.
He's got this year and next. He's got two more years. He's got through 21-22.
Okay, yeah. At nine per.
Nine million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
His star has faded, man. It has. He just is nowhere close to the same player he was. Like, when PK would roll Toronto, he was a buzzworthy player. Like, significantly buzzworthy. He wasn't
major
quite
a factor in the whole game, Brian. He would draw penalties. He'd be pissing people off. He'd rush the puck. He'd be dominant on the power play. He'd be physical. He was a massive part of the storyline of any game.
Yeah.
Just not the case anymore.
He was a ticket seller. Like, that's he was a ticket seller. He wasn't quite Crosby and Ovi, but he was a layer below where you're like, PK's in town, and you want to go see him play because he's going to play 25 minutes tonight, and he's fun to watch. He was a blast to watch. But now he, you know, New Jersey could roll through town. You wouldn't even pay attention to PK Subban at this point. You know, that's just kind of the reality of where he is and where his career is going the past couple of years.
When nobody was paying any attention to us, it would have been nice to make nine bills.
No kidding.
You're right. Like, that's just – and I mean, you know, he was a fantastic player. Maybe he's had a little down, you know, last 18 months. He certainly has an opportunity to get that back. But at 31 years old, it's not easy. You know, you don't snap your fingers and go, hey, you know what, I can just – like, he's going to have to work hard to get his game back, and so Jersey's not a great
platform.
They're
not going to be a very good team anyway.
No, right.
To Ray's point, Jamie, don't you think when the three of us played, it was like, if you weren't performing, it didn't matter what your salary was, they found a way to make you go away, where you didn't have the privilege of playing in the NHL. And now these guys, some of them are making egregious amounts of money, and it's just like, well, I suck now, but I'm going to still get paid, and I'm going to show up, and you're going to take it and like it. And it just, I find it incredible. It's like there's no consequences anymore. I find it unbelievable. Not that I want to see guys lose their livelihood or not be in the NHL, but it's just like, once they're locked in, they're like, yeah, here I am. I don't really care what goes on. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but you can go back, don't you? You know, like, you can go back from today to when we played to the guys in front of us, and the guys in front of us thought we were remarkably spoiled. And then we look forward and go, oh, my God, look at the money these guys are making. The guys in front of us, in front of me, like in the 70s, like, they didn't, you know, I started in 84. So, like, 5 or 6 years before, I think Grant Fuhr was making 70 grand.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
by the time they were winning their cups, I want to say Grant was in the 120 range. 120? Yeah. They won four cups in a row.
Yeah, and it's exactly what happens year over year, generation over generation, right? Like, if everything keeps growing and inflating, in 20 years, guys will be making $15 million. And barely
I don't know anything about the NBA, but I'm looking at some of those contracts, and I'm like, wow, that guy, whom I've not heard of, just signed for $92 million. Yeah. He must be good.
Yeah.
Basically, if you can shoot in the NBA, you're guaranteed a long-term deal at $15 to $20 million a year.
Wow.
And I'm with you. I follow the league closely, and there are guys I'm like, what? Who and where and what? Why? Like, how the hell did that just happen? It's just outrageous amounts of money. And but, you know, that's the TV deal. That's the popularity. And the counter is it's going to stay in the owner's pockets, and I don't need to see that. I'm cool with players making their money. But at some point, if it's a long-term deal and you're around long enough, you know, look at Tom Brady. The daggers are going to come out. You know, they're going to come find you. And that's the way it works in sports. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you then. Later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in person or online at MapleToyota.com. Make the switch, drive a hybrid.